to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, proud military man and representing the state of Illinois in the 16th. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, what's up? Good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. It's been a while.
You bet.
Now, listen, I want to talk to you about the border, but I first want to talk about the 16th, because everybody says, all you guys talk about is Trump. All you guys talk about is trouble. Talk about some issues. So what do you want to do in 2019 for the people of the 16th?
Well, you know, okay, so we got to keep this job thing going, continue to get better jobs and wage growth. So I think that's on a good track right now. We're seeing manufacturing in the 16th coming back, which is good. Obviously, it's a hub for manufacturing. We got to get past these trade issues, because for our farmers, you know, that's essential to get a good deal from China and stuff. And I'll tell you, like, one of the things that's just really kind of burdened me lately, so this will be for the 16th and nationally, I guess, was just the division in this country, the inability of us to debate and talk to each other like adults. It's turned into, you know, there's so much acrimony and contempt that people have for each other. That's actually something that I'm going to do my best to, you know, have good professional debates with people, but try to respect them as people, even if they think differently than me.
Well, that's the thing. How did we lose our way so badly? I mean, if you look at what happened yesterday, just crap being pulled on everybody, and it's just about winning the day. It's not about doing anything for anybody.
You know, and I think what's happened is people have become, just being clear, they've become obsessed with, you know, what's going on in Washington, D.C. We were never intended to be the thing that people paid attention to for all of their waking hours. And now that it has become that, the primary system, so somebody, you know, in order to win their primary, they have to be as far right or far left as they can. And that leads to an inability to talk to each other. If you say outrageous things, you get on the news, you get on national news, and everybody knows your name pretty quick. So think about all the, you know, the famous congressmen, you know, they're all out here saying bombastic stuff.
Right.
And it's become a fame culture. So, you know, and the concern with that is just, again, it's not just that, you know, Thanksgiving dinner breaks up because Aunt Linda voted for Hillary and Uncle Ron voted for Trump. But it's like, we can't even do basic stuff in Washington anymore. And that's frightening to me, because democracy is based on at least some mutual trust of the other side.
Is that also a leadership problem? I mean, do we need better leadership with more control on both sides?
Yeah, I think it's everything. I mean, I think, you know, Trump's tone obviously has something to do with it. The tone of the left has something to do with it. I think, frankly, we all have to kind of take ownership of this, because what happens is one side will say, well, it's the other side that bears more blame. And then that other side really believes it's your side that bears more blame. So you both legitimately believe that. And the problem is, until you're willing to accept that we all have ownership in what this country's become and what it will become, then we're just going to continue this blame game. Escalating rhetoric does not lead to one side saying, wow, you got so heated in your rhetoric, you have shown me that you're correct. Instead, just it leads to more acrimony. So I think it's going to take, at some point, all of us just to take a deep breath and get back to learning how to debate and not hate each other.
You know, I think you get this more than the people you serve with, and that's sad. Yeah. But that is that people outside the Beltway are sick of it. And you've stated it here, and it's going to come back in bigger and bigger ways. And the midterm turnout was not about Democrat versus Republican as much as it was about, we're just sick of the way you guys behave, you guys being the general term. So is your point of view gaining traction with others?
I think this is a point of view that has to gain traction among just everyday people, because congressmen and women are just a reflection of what voters want, even if voters don't know that's what they want, because we're pretty good at figuring out what it takes to get reelected. And, you know, in my case, I look at this, though, and this is what we need more of in Congress, is I don't see being in the U.S. House as my last job ever. I know that there's going to be a future outside of politics for me, because I'm 41 years old. I'm not doing this for another 40 years. And I think when you take that approach and realize this isn't the end-all, be-all, it's much easier to take stands that may not be always politically popular. I've ticked off people in my own party, and I've obviously ticked off people in the other party because I don't really fall into line with what they want.
Right.
I just think that my job is to represent 700,000 people and not any particular party interest.
And I won't even bore you with the question of when you're going to run for Senate, the governor, and for president. We'll get to that later on another call. All right, look, you're a lieutenant colonel. You've been asked to go to the border. You've been to the border. I think Trump suffers from a number of problems, one of which is he's so disliked that even when he's right about something, it's hard for people to believe he's right about something. So yeah. We went from statistics that proved that there wasn't a border problem to statistics that now prove that there is a very significant right. border problem. Now, you went down there and you saw an eyewitness view of what was going on. Is it an emergency?
It is. And you know, my viewpoint wasn't, you know, I threw on a windbreaker and I went to the border and now I have cred. It was, I was actually in the operations, you know, for a few weeks as a military pilot. And so, you know, you get intimately involved in how this stuff works. I came back, I went down neutral on the question of emergency. I came back believing it was an emergency. And what you said is right. You know, the problem is, if we could fix immigration, which includes what are we going to do with the people that are here illegally? Well, let's legalize them. They don't have to be citizens, but let's legalize them and secure the border. I think, you know, 80% of Americans would agree with that, but neither side wants to give the other side a win. And where the president needs to do a little better on this is he's just used to messaging to the base, you know, messaging to the, we can't have any more immigrants. That's a legitimate viewpoint to say we don't want any more illegal immigration. But what we need to do more of is explain the fact that there are 200 dead bodies found every year in the Arizona desert because the drug cartel gets paid $6,000 a person to bring them into Arizona, and then they abandon them at the first sign of trouble, and these people are lost. You know, there are people putting their children unaccompanied with 10,000, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 other people and just sending them to the United States. Who would send their child alone in that kind of situation? So, like, for me, I'm compassionate about people, and that's why I think we need border security and a change to our asylum laws. We got to talk about it differently.
Yeah, and also, we can't be the country, no country should be, but we can't be the country that takes children away from their parents and parents away from their children. We got to find a way to process folks in or out of the country. We're the biggest, best country on the planet. We can do it. We can figure out a way to afford to do it. But we can't be taking people. You know, I mentioned this before. If you drop clothes off at a dry cleaner, you get a ticket for your clothes so you can pick them up a few days later. We can't lose kids. We can't lose kids and their parents. It's just idiotic. So there's ways to fix the border that have nothing to do with building a wall, and there are parts of the wall that absolutely need to be fixed. I don't know why that's hard to get, you know, to wrap your arms around.
See, and that's the point, is you're talking logic, and we're in an illogical time. And logic says, look, hey, there's, you know, the left has some points in this. The right has some points in this. Let's take all those points and actually fix policy. You know, when it comes to the child separation issue, I agree with you in principle, but we have to figure out then what do you do with a child that comes here unaccompanied? Or how do we find out if a child shows up with a man that that's actually that person's father, and, you know, versus somebody just using that child as a trafficking, you know, weapon, basically, or shield. So let's figure out the answer to those questions. Let's put a wall where there needs to be a wall, more technology where there needs to be more technology, fix the asylum laws, and figure out what to do with the people that are here. And 80% of Americans will be like, holy cow, you know, Washington, D.C. works again. But we just are unable to even talk to each other without getting angry and walking away from dinner and hating somebody because they have a different political viewpoint.
And isn't part of this, the Central America is a hot mess, and Mexico is not taking care of the people that are literally running for their lives?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Mexico should be granting asylum to some of the Central America folks. Central America, you know, I was critical of the president withdrawing aid from Central America because that's essential in giving hope and opportunity there. I know El Salvador well. My girlfriend, she's an American, but she's from El Salvador, and I've gotten to know El Salvador well. And, you know, look, we pull aid from El Salvador. All that's happening is the Chinese are walking in and saying, how much did the U.S. give you? Well, they gave us $150 million. Cool, we'll give you $200 million. And now El Salvador is a satellite state of China, in theory, is what's going to happen. You know, we have an opportunity to remake Central and South America with Venezuela, with Cuba, with what's going on in Central America, Nicaragua, and elsewhere. Abandoning it is certainly not the right answer at this time.
And the president needs to stop fighting with everybody and start using some of those deal-making skills he claims to have and That's sit right. down with the president of Mexico and saying, you got to fix this, and I'm going to help you fix it to the best of our ability so we don't have our border overrun by people desperate thinking they have nowhere else to go, because it's not going to work that way.
And look, this country needs to grow more than we're growing by our birth rate. So we need legal immigration.
Right.
And we probably need a lot of it.
Great to have you on. I appreciate it. And if
anytime.
People want to get to hold you, it's Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Easy to find. Google him up. And I'll tell your friend Pat Brady you said hello.
All right. Thanks.